And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
...2008. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, Jedi Master Eeth Koth is taken hostage and tortured by General Grievous. Anakin, Obi-Wan, and Adi Gallia devises a daring rescue plan, but they soon realize the General has a plan of his own. There will be space-sucking battles, a lot of assassin droids this week, and... Kenobi. We're talking about Grievous and Trig this week. How you doing, Chris?
Good. Grievous is back and he's ridiculous. Although I want to correct that, it's space blowing. You get blown out into space, not sucked out into space.
But they were being sucked out of the tube.
They were getting blown out of the tube. Science! Oh. Science, Mullen X.
Oh, that makes sense because the air is pushing
pressure,
them out.
The pressure inside is greater than the pressure outside and it is pushing you out.
Aww, yep. Space.
That's a pet peeve of gardeners, too, the sucked out into space. Unless they have some sort of space vacuum. Well, space is a vacuum, but they'd have to have a vacuum. You get blown out into space.
We're just all being blown here, it's okay. Well, did you have a good week in the 2 days I haven't talked to you?
So far, so good, yeah.
That's good. Outside of yesterday, I had a really good week so far. Yesterday was just one of those days where it's just like all the little things just piled up into one bad day, but it wasn't like one bad thing, it was just a series of little things.
Nice.
There should be a rule that when other people from other stores come into your store, even if they are your customers, and they can see that you're doing shipment, and they can see that you're working, to not talk to you because they have also known the pain of what it's like dealing with customers while you're trying to do shipment, and they should know that no matter how bored they are.
You would think.
But they don't. Anyway, I'm ready to talk about Grievous Intrigue.
That's funny. We have ex-employees that do that at the restaurant that come in at lunch when everybody's busy at noon and they want to chit-chat.
And I know, I don't understand, why?
They not remember? They remember.
Alright, well, I'm ready to get into Grievous Intrigue, you?
I am all ready for this one.
I know, it's your baby. We haven't seen Grievous in a little while.
Oh, he's been, hiding out.
We've been, baiting it up and on Geonosis, so it's been a long time since you've seen your boy.
Yeah, it's probably been a while since they probably wanted to give Grievous any expensive equipment.
Though, I also was thinking about it the other day. Really, when you start getting into the later seasons, there's not a lot of Grievous.
No.
And, I mean, because he's such a big deal in the movies and everything, and then I started thinking about it. I'm like, you know, past season 3, we don't need to see Grievous that much.
Might be kind of a pain in the ass to animate. He's got a lot of moving parts, literally.
Yeah, huh. I just realized that. Anyway, so. Grievous Intrigue is the 31st episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars, and it aired on January 1st, 2010. So happy new year, 2010. It aired after a month hiatus and is the first part of a two-part storyline. It was written by Ben Edlin, Drew Z. Greenberg, Brian Larson, and directed by Juan Carlo Volpe. Some extra information for you. This is Eeth Koth. I forgot to watch the featurette. Damn it, I was wondering why I didn't have a lot of notes here. I meant to watch the featurette. This is Eeth Koth's first appearance in Clone Wars, and his first appearance was Episode 1. Eeth Koth was a member of the High Council, as was Adi Gallia. Although she was not as reckless as Anakin Skywalker, Adegaglio had no qualms bringing the fight to an enemy, and she had a reputation as an aggressive warrior. Nevertheless, she was also a strict and focused woman, which often led her to criticize certain outrageous tactics used by Skywalker and his master, Obi-Wan Kenobi. She was a valuable intelligence source to Senate leaders and knew much of what happened in the galaxy at large. She was also considered to be a skilled pilot. I can't believe I forgot to watch the featurette.
Slipping.
I know. I put it off to the side to watch, and then I just realized I didn't do it. I blame Pokemon Go.
Ah, yeah, you can blame a lot of stuff on Pokemon Go these days.
Yeah. There's a reason I'm behind on, like, all my deadlines for What the Fangirl. Alright, so, you know what we can also blame a lot of things on?
Yoda with his pants off?
Yes! Yes. That's a lot of things we can get blamed on. Yoda's tiny, tiny dingleberry of force will.
Yoda's drunk and naked again, guys.
Oh, God, Yoda. Wake up. It's time for you to do your space platitudes. Wake up.
This one's a disturbing space platitude, kind of.
It really is. I liked it.
For everything you gain, you lose something else. In bed.
You know, though, I just had this image of us trying to wake up Yoda, and he just does, like, a David Hasselhoff roll over on the floor.
Eat a cheeseburger,
and he's just like, fine, I'll do it. For everything you gain, murder it. And, like, slap him around with some water on and be like, Yoda, wake up! Time for space platitudes. He's just like, oh, God.
I don't want to put too much thought into this space platitude, for sure.
You know, I honestly... I put it in my notes in the third act, but...
It makes more sense for leopards, let's just put it that way. Get it? Keep the tip. Oh, I'm so happy that leopard jokes are new to you. That's the oldest leopard joke in the book.
Okay. Oh my God.
Thank you.
That was you're funny. You're funny, Chris Honeywell.
It makes it all worth it.
You're funny. Oh man.
Just reach one person.
Everyone's probably sitting here going, "Gosh, Chris and Hope are terrible people." Yes, we are.
And you keep tuning in.
Yes. Tune in next week to see what terrible things we say. Actually, next week.
Next week, we'll be making fun of the plague.
Yeah! No rats about it. It's okay, we're just ratting at each other's hair. Next week, actually, might have a lot of sexy time with Hope because it's a Rex episode.
It's Rexy anyway. Episode, yeah.
Oh. I have to think about it because it might possibly be a 10 for 10 episode. Maybe. It's going to be pretty damn close to a 10 episode. Pretty damn close, if not a 10.
Oh, watch out, guys. Hope's getting the vapors.
Act 1. Alright, so for real. Act 1, because we're not on next week yet. We're this week. The Jedi are losing footing in the Outer Rim. Their defeats are mounting up against their victories. General Grievous is staying one step ahead of them. His target this week is Jedi Master Eeth Koth, whose ship is under attack. Grievous boards the Republic ship, causing quite an entrance by literally kicking in the door. Koth defends himself from the first wave of assassin droids, but he's injured. He's surrounded by a second wave, and Grievous cackles that he's been looking to hanging out and having tea and then poisoning the tea because poisoning the Jedi at his party because his parties kind of suck and he coughs on everyone's biscuits. I wrote that. It was 2 a.m. Koth calls Grievous a murderer, but Grievous sees the Jedi as filth, and it's a good thing to rid the galaxy of them. They fight, but whenever Koth gets the upper hand, Grievous's magnet guards shock him with their laser lances. Grievous finally captures Kaw. On Coruscant, Grievous sends the Jedi a neener neener message that I have your friend and there's nothing you can do about it, so I'm just gonna torture the crap out of him. Yoda sends away the younglings to discuss the matter. Anakin wants to put an end to Grievous, and Yoda agrees. Commander Wolf comes into Plo Koon's holoskype, and they had found something in the transmission. Koth is sending hand signals of his whereabouts. Obi-Wan translates that he's being kept on being kept in the Sulukumai system. There we go, Hope. It's okay. Obi-Wan, Anakin, Adi Gallia volunteer for the mission to go and rescue Eeth Koth. I'll let you go first. This is your baby.
Oh yeah, I'm digging his return, especially that kicking in the door. He's entering like a Jedi, like the Jedi did in Episode One by lightsaber in a circle in the door, but then he just kicks it end over end and into the room.
I mean,
and commando droids spill in.
I mean, it's like a weapon because like it usually takes out at least 2 to 3 clones in the kick.
And geez, man. Poor younglings, man. They just love traumatizing younglings. By that time, it's already too late. You know, they drag them out after they're already... it's like, get the younglings out of here. Well, it's kind of too late now.
That was actually one of my notes. Like, seriously, why are the Padawans there in the first place? That's not...
They're super, like, big-eyed, like... innocent looking ones too, you know. They're just like, what, why is bad man killing Jedi?
I know, like, I guess because I was looking at the room, I went back and went down the room, and it kind of looks like an amphitheater, so it might have been like a teaching call and maybe they were teaching it, but like so many of the Jedi were there, like it was, I mean, and the thing is if they got this transmission, I'm sure somebody came in and said, hey, we're getting a transmission from General Grievous, and they're like, oh my gosh, let's move the younglings out. Like, oh, hey, let's use this as a teaching thing.
I was just going to say, this could be a teaching moment right here.
A teaching moment it is. Fry your dreams tonight, you will.
Yeah, this could be you someday, huh?
Put your pants back on, Yoda.
Oh.
This could be you one day. Put your pants on,
That's
Yoda.
That's basically what those kids are thinking. They're like, wait, I didn't sign up for a Jedi to be electrocuted by some robot thing.
Unless they're just trying to, like, harden them now, because, I mean, we did talk, last week. What?
I guess, but that just feeds more into our Jedi's are dicks theory.
But we did also talk last week about how, like, this new band of Jedi are being raised in a war.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, and look at Ahsoka. I mean, Ahsoka's 14 and already having PTSD, I mean.
Yeah, true. Well, now these kids aren't sleeping tonight.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was a rather short act. So the only notes I had, to quote one of my favorite, and, well, this is when I wrote this when I was with the first app, but I realized what was happening later, but... to quote one of my absolute favorite shows, Modern Family, what's the plan, Phil? I mean, Grievous. Like, seriously, like, why did he call the Jedi in the first place? And why not just kill Eeth Koth and send his body to him?
Well, it seemed like he wanted to use him as bait for a trap. But then, at the same time, he was in a hidden location, and the only reason they found him was because of the Jedi's hand signals. So did Grievous know that he was going to make hand signals, or was he watching him doing it all the time or something? And how could he depend on that if he wanted to set it as a trap?
I know.
But
I mean,
then again, Grievous is an unhinged, doofy bastard, and he might just want to gloat a little bit, you know, just to be evil. He seems to enjoy just being evil for the sake of evil. One of the reasons I like the guy.
And that was the only thing I could think of. It was just, like, to help spread terror or to try and trap more Jedi and get them to come to save Eeth Koth. But you're right. Like, he didn't even, like, be like, come find me on Sulukumai. Ho, 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 ho. Like, and send Kenobi. I want to kill Kenobi. Like, it was just like I got your dude, and I'm going to kill him.
And the way it transpires is like a trap, you know. He's definitely got a plan for when the Jedi come for him. And, it's weirdly written. This show is very jumbled in its structure. It doesn't have a really clear structure. It's just sort of stuff happening, you know?
Yeah.
From beginning to end. What we were discussing before this, we had a hard time telling where some of the act breaks were in this one.
Yeah. Well, and then my last one, in Plo Koon's Holoscope, we get to see Commander Wolf. And last time we saw him was in the Malevolence arc. And the thing about that is, in the Malevolence arc, he didn't have his cybernetic eye yet. But now he has his trademark cybernetic eye, which is like the eye that he carries all the way to Rebels. And I love this Wolf. Like, this is my favorite version of Wolf. And even though he doesn't speak, in future seasons he's going to speak. And he's going to be so sassy. He's the sassiest of all the clones.
He's Mad Dog Mooney of Star Wars.
I love Wolf like this. Like, this is my... I love Wolf like this. And he's wonderful. And I can't wait till he's rolling that eye all around his head. In future seasons. He's so... Oh, I can't wait till we get, like, Future Wolf when he just starts talking. And
Future Wolf.
There's a great episode where it's, like, him and C-3PO. And C-3PO is like... Oh, goodness me. And he's just like, oh, shit. Why am I here with him? Oh, God.
I just picked up the infamous C-3PO album, or album, comic today.
Oh.
I picked up that in the first... I haven't read it yet. I picked up that in the first episode. I went to the comic shop today, and I forgot to get my list of, like, where I left off on Star Wars, so I couldn't pick up all, like, the new Darth Vaders and stuff. I'm like, 3 or 4 months behind on my comics. But I knew that I didn't have Poe Dameron number one, so I picked up Poe Dameron number one, C-3PO, and the first issue of the adaptation of Force Awakens.
I have to say, while I've been enjoying Vader, I enjoyed all of it except for this final arc. Like, this final arc is just...
Way behind on it. I'm going to have to start reading it from the beginning, I think, actually. By the time I start getting caught up on it, I'm going to have to just start anew and just, like, work.
Yeah, like, this final arc is, it's okay. It's just, I think, some of the other ones were, it's nowhere close to, say, like, how good Kanan was.
Right.
Like, Kanan was so fucking good. And I'm sitting here, like, the thing about, like, the first two arcs of Vader are really good, because it's about how he finds out that Luke's his son, and then he goes to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, now it's just, I don't know. I don't like it. I'm actually kind of glad it only has, like, 2 or 3 issues left and it's getting canceled.
Oh, really?
They're ending the story at 25. I guess I shouldn't say cancel. It's just Gillen was just like, and that's the story I want to tell. Bye.
Huh. Interesting. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
I guess.
But I'm definitely just a little disappointed in this final arc. I was just, it's okay. It's okay. Anyway.
Act 2?
Act 2. I figured this week's going to be a kind of a shorty, so.
It's okay. We got some long ones coming.
Yeah. Act 2. Our heroes move out. Kenobi is going to go in first and engage Grievous himself. Because of their history, Obi-Wan is certain that Grievous will want to even their score face-to-face. While the battle is going on, Anakin, Galia, and Captain Rex will sneak onto the enemy ship for the rescue. On his ship, Grievous knew the Jedi would come to rescue Koth and planned for their arrival. Kenobi calls in just so the Metal General knows that he's there. It's enough for Grievous to take the bait and wants to board Kenobi's ship. But he knows where there is an Obi-Wan, there is also an Anakin somewhere nearby. A space battle breaks out with Kenobi on one ship and Admiral Yularen on the other. Cody sends the coordinates for Grievous' ship to Anakin. Adi Galia asks how close they're going to get. Anakin smirks and says, "Pretty close." They leap into hyperspace. Grievous locks onto Kenobi's ship and prepares a boarding party. Obi-Wan lets him. Anakin pops out of hyperspace right in the middle of the fray, but glides through the ships and attaches to Grievous's. Galia says if they were any closer, they'd be flying down hallways. Galia, don't put ideas in Anakin's head. They cup into a tube thing, which I think was a vent, but I wasn't sure, and leave Rex and his men to guard the exit. Anakin and Galia head up to the bridge to go rescue Master Koth.
Doesn't this remind you of, pardon, Force Awakens a lot?
What do you mean?
With Han Solo's maneuver into the... You know, at the end where he jumps out of hyperspace at the last second and just sort of crash lands.
Oh, yeah! could see that. Less snow, less of a planet to crash into.
The way it played out isn't quite the same, but the build-up to it, the like, so what are you planning on, you know, I mean, it was Princess Leia in Force Awakens, like, so what are you planning on doing? He's like, ah, you'd probably rather not know, you know?
Yeah.
Same sort of thing. So very Star Wars-y, and I'm definitely sure that they had no idea at this point.
Huh, I wonder if Force Awakens took something from that, like, oh, hey, look at this thing that happened in Clone Wars, we should use that.
Maybe not consciously.
Yeah, though that is his great father-in-law, so.
Yeah.
Maybe Han Solo found a book of, like, Anakin Skywalker's, like, written pilot moves, and it's just like, this book is here to teach you all the ways to fly a ship that people wouldn't approve of. And he's just like, oh, shit, yeah.
This will make everybody but insanely good pilots duke their drawers.
Oh, or it might be, like, a smuggler thing, because we know Anakin used to listen to, like, all the smugglers and the pod races and stuff like that.
Yep.
So it might be a smuggler move, and that's why I've heard about it.
It very well could be. We could be reading too much into it, but I don't think so.
No, because I love that moment. Like, that's one of my favorite images of just, like, all the ships just, like, suddenly come into view, and he just glides right through them. But I love the image of, like, the moment they come out of hyperspace, and you just see everything come into focus. Like, that's probably, like, my favorite part of the episode. It's just a really beautiful sequence.
Yeah, here's where this act is where this episode, it didn't really come apart for me, but where I was starting to get, like, okay, is there going to be anything? It was, this episode's good, is some fun battles in it, but it doesn't have a lot more going on with it.
Yeah, because really this is a two-act episode.
And I love me some Grievous, but outside of, like, the opening act, he's just sort of going through his normal Grievous moves.
Because even the way he fought Obi-Wan was, I mean, we're not at the fight with him and Obi-Wan yet, but it was the exact same as the opening fight with Koth.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. And so it was starting to become a series of battles, so I was like, I love my Grievous, and I want to, and I don't care if the episode has a lot of, depth to it, as long as Grievous is stomping and snarling and doing his thing. And I'm not getting enough of it at this point. Just not getting enough of it.
Yeah, definitely in the third act, we get a little bit more motivation behind Grievous. But, I mean, because honestly, the only two notes I had outside of the ship coming out of hyperspace being my favorite moment was an animation note about Rex's hair and something about Kenobi. So that's all I had for
it, too. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like I said, this is really like a two-act episode. There's the opening, and then there's the entire big battle all throughout the end of the episode.
And my copy of this has it all as one big file. So I think when this came out, I think they put both of them out at once and played them back-to-back. Which they seem to like to do that.
Oh, so you have the deserter on your file?
Yes.
Watch
it. There's an obvious cutoff, but it doesn't start up with, you know, the whole scroll and everything. It just gets going into the...
Grievous gone.
Yeah, I don't even know what the space platitude is for the next episode.
Do you need me to send it to you?
I may need you to do that.
Okay.
Because I have to rehearse and practice for a week. At least 3 days.
Really?
No.
Okay, I was like, honey, all you have to do is read a thing. All right, well, my animation...
I need to do it perfectly. I'm an actor. I must be perfectly in character. I research on all the aspects of it, you know.
All the aspects of your...
I look at every nook and cranny I look at.
In bed.
Examine. Anyway.
Well, the only notes I had, one was the animation note is just it's getting a lot better with Rex, because earlier in season one, they would just, like, make him bald, but now there's clearly, like, a blonde hairline in his scene, and his glorious blonde hair waving in the wind. He saves Anakin. Oh, I love him. And then I just always like the whole, all, whatever Kenobi banters with Grievous, or even Ventress, for that matter, because it's almost like they could be buds, if this was a different situation, but they, I just love whenever he banters with them, and especially because him and Grievous were just like, oh, hey, bro. Can I come kill you? Yeah, that'd be great, bro. See you in a minute.
Neither of them want to admit to breaking a sweat. That's the whole thing. Grievous, it's easy not to break a sweat when you're Grievous.
You don't have sweat glands right. in the
middle. He just has a couple drips around his eyes or whatever, but... Yeah, Obi-Wan's always got a... He enjoys himself during battle, I think, for the most part. He seems to enjoy himself.
But yeah, that's all I had for Act 2.
All right, so are we ready to finish this sucker puppy off?
Yeah, the meat of the episode. All right.
yeah, this is like half of the running time right here.
I didn't know where to cut it. I was just like, okay, we're different locations. That seems like a good place.
I only saw one place where there was a commercial, and that cut it right in half, almost. So.
All right, well. It's weird. Act 3. Obi-Wan and Cody are ready for Grievous. They need to keep the General on their ship as long as they can until Anakin is clear to go. A hole is cut into the door, and assassin droids and Magna Guards flooded, engaging the clones and the Jedi. Like the fight with Koth, the Magna Guards surround Obi-Wan. He's able to dispose of a few. He leads Grievous to the bridge, and the General sneers about whether or not everything is going according to plan. He knows Anakin is there, and he knows that they're after Eeth Koth. On the bridge of Grievous' ship, Adi Gallia and Anakin find Master Koth and a tactical droid. They're not surprised to find our heroes there either. There's a squad of assassin droids waiting for them and ready to fight. Kenobi and Grievous are at it, dueling blow for blow. Kenobi takes out the final Magna Guard and calls out Grievous for his motives. What's the point of all the fighting? What is Grievous going to gain when he's mutilating his own body and his Dooku's pawn? Grievous says he doesn't care about the politics of war. He just wants to lead the most powerful droid army in the galaxy has ever seen and wants to rid the world of all the Jedi. The tactical droids start torturing Eeth Koth, but Anakin slices off his arm communicator to spare him. Him and Gallia continue their fight with the assassin droids, while the tactical droid scrambles to get his communicator back. But Anakin quickly destroys the tactical droid, and they free Eeth Koth. If the three Jedi can cut off Grievous' escape, they will finally capture him. Grievous slips away from Kenobi, who calls Anakin that he's heading back to his ship. Gallia leads Eeth Koth with Anakin to go engage Grievous herself. Grievous slips past Cody's men and orders his droids to fire on the Republic engines. They blow them out. Cody and his men attach a line to Grievous and wrestle him, but the General throws them off and sprints for his ship. Obi-Wan and Cody are right on their heels. Kenobi's ship's stabilizers are knocked out, and the docking tube with Grievous, Obi-Wan, Cody, and his men start to break apart. Grievous and Kenobi fight again briefly, but the metallic General is able to sneak away. But Gallia is right behind him. Docking tube breaks, and several clones get blown out into space. Cody snatches Obi-Wan before he can fly out. Gallia shoots down a cable so Obi-Wan and his men can crawl out of danger. Obi-Wan wants to go after Grievous, but Gallia argues that Anakin is about to leave. It's their only escape. Obi-Wan calls to Anakin, and he's going to pick them up in the hangar. Dadakin arrives and scoops up the heroes just as Grievous gets a hit to his landing ship and detaches. Obi-Wan's original flagship's reactor overheats and explodes. Debris flies off and strikes Grievous' ship. Damaged, it falls down towards the planet of Saleucami. In the words of my mom, it's better to be lucky than good any day, and the Jedi were really lucky this time. Obi-Wan is going to take Rex and Cody and follow Grievous while Anakin manages the space battle. Eeth Koth thanks them for their rescue, but Grievous got away. Anakin says at least they're all there to fight another day. The end.
Sort of.
Until next week.
Man, lots of Jedi getting electrocuted lately in Clone Wars.
Yeah, maybe Filoni has a fetish.
Yeah, maybe. It happens a lot. My favorite thing of this third part's not even Grievous, although there's a lot of crab crawl in here, and you know me, I love the crab crawl.
Yeah.
He's doing the... I love it. It's just so rat-like and, like, he's so blustery, but then as soon as things start going bad, it's just like,
yeah. Yeah, the moment that Obi-Wan starts to win, he's just out. He's just like, okay, bye.
Done.
What's your favorite take?
But my favorite part of this is not even Grievous. It's the tactical droid with his laugh, his heh, heh, heh. I love that.
I like when he's trying to push the button with his little half a arm, and he's just like his little nub, and he's just like, I can't reach it.
Oh, whoops, yep. And that where he's chasing his arm around, it reminded me a lot of Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom in the beginning sequence of that, where Indy's taking poison and he's trying to grab the antidote and it's getting kicked all over a dance floor during a fight. So there's this whole fight going on and he's like participating in it and alternately trying to grab his antidote.
Just reminded me of like an old Scooby-Doo cartoon. Like, there's always that moment where, like, people are, like, kicking around Velma's glasses, and she's just like, my glasses!
Yes.
Or those,
I forgot about that.
Or just, like, God, you'll have to find the music cue, because I know you'll put it in, but that music that's like,
from what? Scooby-Doo?
I don't know what it's from, but you would know it if I, and like people are usually like running from door to door and stuff, and it's just
oh,
like,
oh, probably it's some yakety sax.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, yakety. I think you're thinking yakety sax. Well, we'll find out because it's when you listen to this because it's playing right now.
Kyle, I'm gonna write you when this episode comes out.
Benny Hill smacking the little old guy on the top of the head. Yeah, Grievous is doing in a lot more equipment in this episode too.
He's just blowing up all the ships.
Yep. He can't even fly away without injuring his escape ship, his landing ship.
Count Dooku had to start a GoFundMe account just to give him another ship.
I know, just because of this guy.
I just see Count Dooku just going to the Separatist Council and just being like, and these are all of our political notes, and just one last note at the end, this is our Kickstarter account, because Grievous destroyed another ship.
Well, Grievous is following that thing, it's the same pattern as Boba Fett is. The cooler you look, the less effective you are at all.
No, that's not true, because look at Cad Bane.
That's true.
Cad Bane is hell of a sexy thing.
That's true, and he looks cool, too.
He's super cool, and I'm glad you agreed that he's sexy.
I guess I tacitly did, so yes, okay.
Okay, it's okay. We accept all genders and sexualities on the show.
You don't even know what gender Cad Bane is.
Mm.
We don't even, right? We don't know what's up with his species.
I wonder what he would look like as a human.
You haven't seen it. He would look like Clint Eastwood, basically.
Maybe. Not like a young Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
Or maybe
Clint
even...
Eastwood had that same drawn-out face and the straight, you know, the thin lips.
I don't know. I keep imagining Oded Fehr as a cowboy, and I really like this image in my head. Yeah. Yeah. That's it. He's going to be Oded Fehr as a cowboy. Yeah. I'm like, okay. Yeah. So, what do you think of Vampire Diaries, Chris?
Well, I mean, those were pretty much my notes for this one. I gotta tell you, I'm pretty disappointed in General Grievous in this one.
Yeah,
started out strong and then he petered out.
Yeah, I only had two notes, which was I like that Grievous's new move is literally kicking indoors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does it twice.
I know.
Liked it so much the first time that he's just like, I'm going to keep doing that. That's dramatic. And it flings a red hot door hole at people.
And then I also started thinking, like, by the time he kicks in that door and has his lightsabers, though, he has to get out of the way for the other droid. So I just see him be like, all right, guys, just like we practiced, well, ready?
The second time he kicked through the door, you don't even see. The first time he kicked in the door and was like, aha, and then they came in from the sides all dramatic. Like, this time he kicked in the door, you don't even see him. It's just like the door flies open, then you see a hole, and then they just start spilling through.
He probably had to grab this young man and jump.
Yeah, he was Yeah, he wasn't quite... I don't think he was quite as cocky at this point in the episode as he was in the beginning.
And then the only other note I had is one thing I like about Clone Wars is how we get to see other Jedi in action outside the bar main cast of, like, Anakin and Obi-Wan. Because we get to see both Adi Gallia and Eeth Koth in action. And, you know, recently we've seen a lot of Ki-Adi Mundi, and we've seen Plo Koon, and we've seen, like, Luminara. So I like that we're getting these episodes of, like, these other Jedi that haven't been featured that prominently.
And I like that you can tell that they've all got their own kind of style, you know? They're not just this. It's not just like this one generic Jedi style of fighting. Every character's got their own little personality. They spent some time working that out.
Yeah, so like I've always liked episodes like this when we get to see like other people and stuff. And I kind of wish, you know, we get, like I said, I think it wasn't Brain Invaders. I think it was Legacy of Terror. When I was talking about how I wish we got to see more of Jedi's and Padawans and, like, other Jedi's and Padawans, like, with Luminar and Barriss and how they act together and stuff. And I still wish we got that a lot.
Yeah, no, there's not much character development in this one at all.
Yeah.
It's pretty straight up just a battle.
Especially, like, Eeth Koth. Like, we pretty much saw him get captured and then just, like, hang there and limp for the rest of the episode.
Yep.
So we didn't even get to see like that much of him, but I feel like he should be more important because he's a member of the High Council, and even then we still don't know a lot about him.
Yeah, well, all we see of him in here is kind of shagged out.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much he thinks Grievous is a murderer, and we all know that, so it's not like it's a big character revelation of like, Grievous, you murdered my father. I think we know more about Dooku right now than all the other Jedi put together, minus Anakin, Obi-Wan, and Ahsoka, and Yoda.
I mean, how effective of that could you think that is to tell Grievous is a murderer? If anything, you're praising him in his eyes, you know?
Like, yes, I am. Thank you for noticing.
I've worked very hard at that. I'm glad that you are appreciating my efforts.
He just gets big starry eyes, and he's like, you noticed! Thank you! Gold star for you. And he puts the gold star on him, and it shocks them to death. And he's like, oh, oops. I forgot I used the electric stars this time.
Yeah. Oh, I'm a murderer. Oh, that explains this collection of Jedi lightsabers that I have.
Grievous is on an episode of Hoarders, and he's like, welcome to my crib. And he opens the door, and it's just bodies of dead Jedi. And he's like, sorry. He just got on Hoarders.
Long weekend. The maid's not hasn't come yet. She just
Grievous on Hoarders. I like it.
Yeah, she. What the hell was his pet's name?
Gore.
Gore. Yeah, they just shovel him into Gore's nest, and I just keep the lightsabers.
Did I tell you about my idea for a horror movie?
No.
I'll have to tell you afterwards, so nobody steals my idea.
Oh, okay. It's not Star Wars oriented. It's just a new horror movie idea.
Actually, we're talking about it anyway. Pretty much the base idea is something lives in the hoard of a hoarder's house, and cats just start vanishing like, meow! But it just, like, hides in the hoard of a hoarder's house, and they can't get out, and their cats keep dying. That's about all I got.
The thing that ate cats.
Yo, Kate, where do you keep your casserole dishes?
Why?
The cat won't fit in the toaster. Never mind. I'll make a peanut butter sandwich.
And yeah, that's about all I got. I just thought that'd be funny. You'd just be like, I can't call for help, and I'm a hoarder, and I'll go to jail. But jail might be the safest place for me. Cause something is killing everything in my house, and like the roaches are like fleeing in like groves, just like ah.
Yeah, you know, you'd have to have the person in the house would train it to eat all the like. They don't pay the bills, so they come to, you know, evict her from the house and, oh, come on in, have some tea, and we'll talk about it. Nom, 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 nom.
That's an even better idea. It's like a demon, and it's a hoarder demon, and like a dragon. Dragons like hordes, and it's like a dragon demon. It's just like, yes, bring me more.
Oh, yeah, it would be. It would be like Smog sitting on top of his gold and silver, except it would be piles of old newspapers and cat food cans. Because that's usually what it is in those situations.
Yeah, not even gonna lie, on A&E, Hoarders is totally one of my guilty pleasures. I'm so Team Zazio, it's not even funny. That is one of my, I love every year when it comes on for like the 7 weeks it runs, and it's just, what are your top three guilty pleasure shows that you're just like, oh God, I do admit that I watch this.
It's hard to say because I haven't had a TV like hooked up to cable in probably 6 years now, 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I really select my own TV. So like guilty pleasures are hard to come by because those guilty pleasures usually happen by you just flipping through and, you know, I mean, I used to watch back in the day, you know, the Anna Nicole show and stuff like that and enjoy the hell out of it. I enjoy any judge show there is. Like, if I had cable, I could watch QVC all day. All day. I'll never ever buy anything from QVC, but it fascinates me unnaturally. It does. Like, when they're selling some, especially when they get some just useless piece of shit that they're trying to sell, and you'll have the guy and the woman, and they're both equally, like, completely, like, super chirpy and chipper and well-dressed and enthusiastic about this piece of shit, and they're falling over each other trying to figure out different ways that you could use this in different ways and stuff, and it's all just time-eating bullshit. But they do it all with this, like, hey, camp counselor enthusiasm, and you know, their souls are just, like, shriveling up inside them and floating away in a...
I just realized that people from QVC would make excellent podcasters.
They would, but they would, but it wouldn't be, well, you know, I mean, I don't want to shortchange them. I'm sure they're all like people outside of QVC, and like a lot of them might be interesting people and have interesting lives. But just because you can talk like that and spin your wheels and sell something doesn't mean you can say anything, because they're really almost in the business of saying nothing, you know. They've got 10 minutes to sell this thing and 10 minutes to talk about it, and there's really only about a minute or 2 minutes worth of stuff you can say about.
You're explaining this as if we're saying anything of great importance.
Right. Well, that's the thing. That's why it's a guilty pleasure for me, because for me, when I watch it, it's fascinating. I'm watching it thinking about all that stuff, like, oh my God, and then just like completely amazed at how they break through the different levels of ridiculousness and banality to just keep moving and talking, sort of like I'm doing now. But yeah, that's definitely like a guilty pleasure show for me. But I don't know. I don't watch enough regular TV to pick up on something. I know my roommate's watching like Glamour Girls, as they called.
Gilmore Girls?
No, it's fairly recent, or it's like in the last 4 or 5 years, and it's set in the mid-aughts, so it's set like 2005, and everybody's on flip phones and MySpace. And that looks like a guilty pleasure show that she's watching. It looks really cheesy, but I don't even know the name of it, so, yeah.
My guilty pleasures, I know I've mentioned it before here, but I love, like, design competition shows like Project Runway and Top Chef and stuff like that, and Face Off. Face Off on Sci-Fi is great. It's all movie makeup. It's a movie makeup competition show.
Okay.
It's really good, but is that something
you should feel guilty about?
No, but I definitely have. It's one of those things. I'm like, I could watch this Emmy Award nominated show, but Project Runway is on. I've watched every episode of Project Runway since day one. But I will say my absolutely three guilty pleasures that I have no shame over is Ghost Hunters. I've seen every episode.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen every episode of Ghost Hunters.
Oh, my God.
I've met them at Dragon Con. I've watched the live Halloween specials for, like, 6 hours.
Oh, I want to punch on them whenever I see that show.
I want to punch other ghost shows when I see them. Like, Ghost Adventures is crap. But, like, I love the Ghost Hunters. I've met them, and, And then my other guilty pleasure show... I just had one in the back of my head. What was it? What was I thinking? Shit. Well, I can't think of my second example, but my third example was I love watching the Weather Channel. I love
watching a lot of people who do.
Oh, my God. Jim Cantore and Mike Betts need to, like... have a wet t-shirt competition.
You know what they need to make for... Oh, so you're even getting into the people of it. Like, the people I know that watch it are, like, really into the weather, and I'm, like, waiting for the day where they make, like, the Weather Channel makes a globe that just, like, hooks into, the Weather Channel satellite, and you can look down at the globe and see all the, you know, the currents and cloud formations and storms and stuff over the entire planet. You know, you could just turn your globe around and pinch up a little area and see, like, the weather report for whatever town in China you happen to touch on the globe.
Yeah, no, I like, well, my mom always, I've always been fascinated with weather. Like, my mom always said that, like, if I couldn't make it as a writer, I should be a meteorologist, because I've always been fascinated with weather.
I could see you doing the weather.
And, like, one of my, like, bucket list things to do is I want to see a tornado in real life. Like, not, like, one going through a town, but, like, one in the Great Plains, like, going over a field, and it's just beautiful and glorious. And, like, I would love to take a summer off and just ride along with storm chasers and just blog about their daily lives. Like, that is a dream of mine. That's something I really want to do in my lifetime.
That would be
fun. But I also, huh?
That would be fun.
Yeah, but I've also just, like, I really, like, Jim Cantore is amazing. Thundersnow! And I cried when I heard in the Moore tornado that Mike Betts got caught and his car was flipped and he ended up being okay. But, like, the person I always wanted to go storm chasing with in my entire life was Tim Samaras, and he died in the Moore tornado when it hit his car, the same one that hit Mike Betts' car. And him and Carl Jung and Tim Samaras' son, like, they were all three killed, like, because this tornado turned on them. And so, like, I love the Weather Channel. I watch it all the time, and I love the people. And Jim Cantore is celebrating 30 years at the Weather Channel, so happy 30 years, Jim Cantore. And, oh, my God, but, yeah, him and Mike Bettis needs to have, like, a chocolate pudding wrestling match. And they're based right here out of Atlanta. Like, I could show up and just be like, hey, guys, what's up?
Oh. Hope, I've seen live chocolate pudding wrestling matches before.
Have you really? Are they fun?
I was scooping the chocolate pudding out of the pudding can onto a tarp. And, yeah, it was fun.
Oh my God.
It was two rather large, naked female school teachers.
School teachers?
That's why we were within 5 seconds of videotaping it. We were videotaping a chocolate pudding ceremony. It's a long story. Long story,
you
obviously.
Tell it. This was a short episode. You better tell the story. Go.
Well, I would.
No names.
When I would be at this one festival, they would have a big bonfire on the last night, which was Saturday, would be the big night. And there would be a huge bonfire that would burn till the next day. And everybody would stay around and they'd play their drums around the bonfire and stuff. Well,
How old were you, by the way?
Huh?
Like, was this when you were, like, still a student? Please say no.
No.
Okay, cool. Go on. Just wanted to clarify that in my mind.
No, this was, like, late 20s, probably early 30s, that age. And so the next morning, there would be a lot of people. It was a pagan festival, so there would be all kinds of different pagan-y people who'd been up all night. Some of them chemically enhanced. Some of them just tired from dancing all night. And they would still be around. And this fire was big enough to see from space. It was It was literally probably 60 feet of logs piled up like a log cabin and then lit on fire. So it was huge, and then it would be burned down to you know, just ashes the next day. So, as was the tradition, like, one year we brought this big, giant it's like actually a 6-pound can of chocolate pudding along, and we were like, we don't know why, but we'll bring this. And it sort of became a tradition that on Sunday morning after the fire was burned, we'd open up the chocolate pudding and put a spoon in it, and everybody would get some chocolate pudding. So there would be more every year, there'd be more ceremony added to it. And then one year it sort of peaked and then ended. And that year I actually videotaped it. It can be seen on YouTube, except for the wrestling because... Okay, so anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. What this year, the we had a friend, no names, and he was an actor, but he also had his penis pierced. So
he had his lightsaber hanger on his torso.
And if he was gonna remind me of anybody in the Two True Freaks world, this is gonna sound crazy, Sean Engel. He was that sort of guy. He was sort of built like Sean Engel. He was very good natured, very funny, and just very, you know, just kind of a humble guy. But this guy had more of a wild side. He was like he was married to this one woman who was crazy. She was crazy, very very sharp also, and very very just nice. Grounded people too, like when they had kids, their kids were very, you know, very advanced and well adjusted. Well, anyway, he had the pierced in the penis, and he was just like in his acting job, he was talking about how when he wanted to freak people out, he would wear a skirt and that he would hang a frying pan from a hook on his penis and run around with a wooden spoon whacking the frying pan going ding ding ding, attention everybody, attention. Shocked and awed everybody. But then he said, you know what, he got a flower pot holder, you know, the yarn flower pot holders that come down into, boy oh boy, J Guys and Jedis has gone off the rail, that goes into like four or five different things.
It's okay,
a flower pot in it, you know.
Yeah,
well, he hangs that from it and we hang the pudding can from it. So he does a couple loops around the fire, wanging on the pudding can, going, it's pudding time, everybody, pudding time. And then we removed the pudding can, opened it up, put in the spoon, and went around and fed it to everybody. But then a tarp got laid out, and then somebody in the background yelled, pudding wrestling! And these two school teachers ran up and said, you can't film this, we're school teachers. And I said, okay. But we sat there and threw some pudding down on the tarp and then threw some pudding on them, and they wrestled like high school, like wrestling team wrestling.
Oh my god!
So yeah, I've seen some chocolate pudding wrestling now that you bring it up, Hope.
Episode of
Jacob's Jedi. So now Hope has learned. So now let's go over what we've learned today, Hope. We've learned about pudding wrestling, and we've learned about leprosy jokes.
And penis hangers.
Right, because God knows there was no moral or message in this episode of Clone Wars.
Oh, this was I think the moral of this episode was, it's better to be lucky than good any day.
Somewhere, Hope, I'll find a picture. I've got one of our band posters was a picture of him with it hanging, with the can of pudding hanging.
This isn't a well-known actor, is it?
No.
Okay.
No. When I say actor, I'm saying, oh, well, I wouldn't give it away at all in a Renaissance fair.
Okay.
Sometimes they turn into well-known people like Penn and Teller or Matthew Lilliard, but... A lot of time, they're more like traveling gypsies that hang cast iron pots.
When it's Christmas time, can he, like, do jingle bells?
I'm sure he could. What's funny is he lives out west, I think maybe in Texas. Or he and his wife live out west. But I knew a girl, I know a girl here in Rochester who actually dated him. and we were talking about him. She's like, wait, is this the blah, blah, blah from the Renaissance Fair? Does he have a piercing in his penis? And I'm like, yes, he does. And she's like, I dated him for 6 months. He's the only guy I've ever met with a penis piercing who knew how to use it.
So when it's Christmas time and he wants sexy time, he can hang the mistletoe.
He could.
And oh my God.
His wife would probably find it funny once. So he would probably do it like 5 or 6 times, but yeah.
Oh my God. Now that we completely defaced the image of Sean Engel. We love you, Sean. We miss you.
They're both wonderful people, you know. I mean,
Sean would have enjoyed that story.
Usually if you describe a person, like, to me, if someone was describing a guy with a pierced penis who did, like, obvious call for attention stuff, I'd sort of picture, like, tattooed douche sort of bro sort of thing.
Yeah.
Not at all what this guy's personality was. He was like a family man type of guy, you know what I mean? He was just one of those, like, good-natured, he's always going to do the right thing type of person without anguishing over it, you know, one of those people who are just sort of naturally good-natured and good people. Only Sean didn't. Well, we don't know about Sean's penis, so
no.
I'm not going to conjecture what was going on with it. It might have been pierced. We don't know.
Sean, we miss you.
Sorry about that. I was talking about him today to somebody. That's probably why I'm bringing him back up.
Well, what did you think of the episode, Chris?
I'm sorry to say I'm disappointed in this episode. I was looking forward to this because you know, this is like my Rex. Grievous is my Rex. And so I was getting ready for just sheer joy. Now, it's not like I didn't like the episode, but it was just, you know, it probably would have gotten a 7 or 8, you know, my standard score for just like a good solid episode. But I'm docking it down to a 6 because compared to, like, a lot of the episodes around it, it's lacking a little bit of color from the characters, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't need there to be a lesson to it, but it was just sort of like, okay, it's action, and it started out real strong, but by the end of it, it was just sort of like, okay, these things are happening, you're waiting for stuff to resolve. It didn't have a real form to it or forward momentum. It was just going. So I'm giving it a 6.
Damn, you know what's crazy? I outscored you on a Grievous episode.
Yeah, I know. I knew this was going to be not scandalous, but at least anomalous.
Damn, well, actually, the reason I probably scored it higher than you is after, like, all the super emotional episodes that we've had and all the episodes from the second Battle of Geonosis, it's kind of nice to have a breather episode that's nothing but fights and space battles.
Yeah.
To catch our breaths and stuff, because this is a fairly straightforward episode, and there's a lot of great battles and fight sequences, but, I mean, it is nothing groundbreaking, and next week is certainly, like, it felt like a long prologue for next week's episode, but even then, next week, like, Grievous doesn't really do much. It's him running, and the big focus next week is Rex and Cut LaQuain. So I gave it a 14 out of 20, though I have to say, this conversation, I give a solid 9 out of 10. This was a fun conversation about Weathermen and chocolate pudding and penis piercings.
I should do one of the Two True Freaks storytellers. I just realized, just on Pagan Festival, on going to the Pagan Festival, because I have a lot of stories from there. I got Chris goes to the voodoo ceremony.
Crisco, like the fat lard.
Crisco at the voodoo. Now, if there's going to be fat at the voodoo ceremony, it would be chicken fat, I would imagine. There were no animals being sacrificed at the voodoo ceremony either. Just in case anybody's wondering.
The few pagans I've met, they're all pretty chill, cool, awesome people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had several college classes with one, because we were both creative writing minors, so we were in a lot of classes together, and she was just super chill and super cool, and she was incredibly brilliant, and she just had, like, great, great stories, and she would come in and, like, wish me happy holidays on certain pagan festivals, and I'm like, oh, that's great! She was just awesome. I really miss her. I hope she's doing okay right
now. The thing about the pagan festival is there were just hundreds of different flavors, you know? You had people that are like Wiccan witches, and you have druids. It was like a D&D episode or something. It was, you know, druids and voodoo people and, you know, odd, the subgenius comedy religious cult. What was the one, there was a religion based off the book Stranger in a Strange Land, the Church of All anyway, they were kind of a cheesy, based on a science fiction church that, you know, started in the 60s, so they're a little weird and like goofy. There were, you know, there was all different, and the druids were very, like, you know, they were coming right from, like, basically, you know, one of the solstices, they were all from England and, you know, hanging around Stonehenge and stuff like that, and creeping around in druid robes with their cloaks over them. And then you just had people who were there because they liked playing drums and dancing naked around a fire. Lots of nudity. Lots and lots of nudity. My first year there, I got to go for free because I had the job of cleaning bathrooms. And it was the easiest job I've ever had in my life. So, not what I was expecting at all. But anyway, someday I should do a Storytellers on that, because I got some crazy stories.
I look forward to hearing this. This was a fun, surprising episode. I was just like, oh man, it's going to be like short and not a lot to talk about. It's going to be like a 30-minute episode. No, this was great. All right, well, as always, we would love for you guys to leave us a review on iTunes. Oh my god, no, I did put it on there. Never mind. I thought I forgot to put it in there. We would love to see a review from you guys on iTunes. It helps people find the show. We will also read it on the show. But you can also leave us a comment or review on the episodes on our Facebook page at twotruefreaks.com. And this week, we came from our great friend Aaron, who left us a comment on the episode Cargo of Doom, and also our friend Robert did as well. So, do you want to read them?
Yeah, because here comes my big reading task for J-Guys and Jedi.
Yeah, right. Robert's is in pink. I forgot to make it black. Just, it's right under Aaron's.
Oh, I see it. I'm working. I'm saving my breath so I can get through this one. Okay, so Aaron Henley says, "Troopers on the ceiling, still one of the best visuals in all of Star Wars."
Yep.
That was a pretty awesome visual, yes.
That is still one of my favorite fights of Clone Wars, period, the end.
Yes, zero G. It's funny, I just saw, it's funny, these are such fresh comments, and they're going to be 6 weeks old by the time everybody sees them. And then Robert said that you have a nice singing voice.
Thank you. Actually, Aaron added to that comment. He said that, let me pull it up right fast. But while I'm pulling up this comment, thank you. Like, I don't think I have a great singing voice, but it's one of those things. It's just like, I'm a very firm believer that life is too short to not sing and dance, even if you suck at it like I do. So I love singing and I love dancing. Because life's too short to not sing and dance together. And
my dream someday is Two True Freaks karaoke.
Yeah.
With Hair Metal Hero.
But I wrote back to Robert, "All thank you, I don't think so, but I like to sing for fun." And Aaron said, "Yes, you do. I about spit out my Coke when I heard Cad Bane's Part of Your World. That was great." So yeah, give me a Disney song. I will make up Star Wars lyrics to it on the spot.
Ooh, Star Wars karaoke, even better. There was Hair Metal Hero just put up. He just went to see Guns N' Roses the other night, and he put up a video of him singing the "You Could Be Mine" song from Terminator 2. You couldn't even hear Axl Rose, just hear Metal Hero singing it. It's great. And he does not do a bad Axl Rose either.
Yeah. Well, that's about all I got. Where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me, as always, at twotruefreaks.com. And that's where we have all our Two True Freaks podcasts. So many podcasts, including by now the Is It Jaws podcast. Bots, Bugs and Babes is another new one. Lately, we've just added a Serenity podcast. Or is it Serenity or Firefly podcast? I always get that the name of the series and the name of the movie mixed up. But we've added a Firefly series. We've got your Star Trek, Star Wars, comics, Back to the Bins, always a chestnut. Not to be confused with Chet's Nuts.
That's these nuts?
Or these nuts. Whoa!
That you can hang bells on.
That's right. These non-pierced nuts. But yeah, you should come check it out. It's chock full of podcasts. And you could listen to them. You could start listening to them now, and they could keep you busy for the full time, or you could go full crazy and jump back 8 years and start from the beginning, like a lot of people do. A lot of people.
Be a brave soul.
A lot of people with a lot of time on their hands.
A lot of free time I don't got.
Yeah. And you do a lot of stuff, too.
I do, but I'm going to give you a helpful hint first before I say my stuff.
Uh-oh.
The way I remember Firefly and Serenity and which one comes first is it's in numerical and alphabetical order. So Firefly, F comes before S, so it came first, and then Serenity is later in the alphabet, and it came second.
Okay. That works for me. I'll try to remember that. It gets me every time.
It's alphabetical. Firefly came first.
But of course, that's a limited series. So.
Well, you can find me at JGuysAndJedi at Twitter. I run our Twitter account, and you can also find me at Hope Molinex. I also write for What the Fangirl, and I've been kind of bad because I've been playing a lot of Pokemon Go, and I haven't been working on my deadlines, and I got a nice call from my editor today going, hey.
Call it research.
Yeah, well, I did, because I'm actually writing a Pokemon Go article, but now I'm having to, a lot of this stuff, and I started this article over a week ago, and it's one of the things, a lot of the things in my article have now been fixed, like server issues. I was just like, oh, I'm gonna rewrite parts of it, so now I have to. I'm changing what the focus is gonna be about in the article. But that being said, I write for What the Fangirl, and yeah, that's all I got.
Was that the cryptic message I got from you today on Facebook that you accidentally sent to me? Was that part of that whole thing?
Not for Pokemon Go. Well, by the time this airs, it's not gonna matter. But my friend Michael. Has an outfit in the Her Universe fashion show at Comic-Con. He is, I don't know really anything about his design, I just know that he did it. He can't really talk about it either, but we were trying to see if we're trying to see whether or not we can set up an interview with him, for What the Fangirl, to talk about the process of being a fashion designer and working with Her Universe, and I'm so jealous because if you guys know me, I love Ahsoka, and Ashley Eckstein's like a personal hero of mine. And he was just like, hey, look at this. And he texted me a picture of him and Ashley together in his studio. And I was just like, hey, what's up? Oh, God. So, yeah. I'm super, super proud of him. I can't wait to see his design at Comic-Con this weekend.
Hey, we should be able to get her on the show, right? She's got a company that she's trying to promote.
I don't know if I could actually,
do it.
I know, but because the thing is, I was on a panel with her at DragonCon, and I wonder if she remembers the panel. It's the panel that Boba Fett hit on me.
She probably remembers. If not, totally specifically, she'd probably be like, oh yeah, I remember doing that panel.
Yeah, oh my gosh, guys, I couldn't. I can't. I have fucked up for doing interviews and being a press member, and
no,
I don't want
to. I'll be there to fuck it up. You can be there to bail me out. We'll set it all up. Good cop, no. Bad cop.
Do you know how my side of this interview would go? It would go like this.
Hi.
Mm,
Thank you for being here. I really appreciate it. Really nice talking to you.
We'll do all that before we even start recording. Chris, we'll do all our gushing and kowtowing before.
Chris, these are my questions. Can you ask them for me? These are the questions.
I'll do that. I'll be like, Hope wants to know how awesome it is to be totally cool like you.
And these are the questions about how much of it was an honor to grow up with Ahsoka Tano, and how her being an adult now and me being an adult now is really inspiring.
Hope says she has a tent and wants to live in your backyard. Is that okay?
Can I be your maid?
I had a friend who was, we were both on the college radio station, and a band that we both really liked was coming into town and coming in to do an interview. And he was doing the interview, but he could not think of any questions. So he's just like, can you think of some questions for him? And I'm like, yeah, I can think of a bunch of questions. So I'm just like, I'll just write them down. You can bring them in. So I wrote them down, and instead of just using them, he prefaced each of them with, my roommate wants to know, blah, blah, blah. And like halfway through, the band's like, who the hell is your roommate? And what, why, don't you have any questions? Who's this guy?
Well, until next time, let the penis piercings be with you.
Yes, have some pudding.
Too bad this isn't coming out closer to Christmas, because we could play ourselves out with jingle bells.
Yeah, well, you know what? I might just do that anyway.
Dashing through the podcast, talking about penis piercing, because Grievous was really boring, and Chris was really sad, when Yoda lost his pants, and made some Padawans cry. That's okay, because they're all gonna die, because Order 66 is coming. Oh, Anakin will kill them all, but that's okay, because Ahsoka will live to see Darth Maul. Hey!
Oh my god.
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at TwoTrueFreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at TwoTrueFreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled T-W-O. TrueFreaks.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks. Dumbass. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show, too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
We were finally invited aboard one of these spacecraft, which landed near Ann Arbor, Michigan on October the 24th of 1954. This is a drawing of the craft. As I was leaving the craft, the commander, Soltek, said, soon others of your people will be able to have an experience similar to this.